Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com. Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Survival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WebSeed.com.
Welcome to the Health Ranger Report with your host, Mike Adams.
Hello and welcome everyone to the Health Ranger Report. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, editor at naturalnews.com. Today we're joined by Jeffrey Smith. Yeah, the Jeffrey Smith of the Institute for Responsible Technology. The tip of the spear on the GMO education effort, and he's here to talk to us today with the latest updates on what's happening in the battle against GMOs and also GMO labeling and that initiative in California. That and much more right here. Jeffrey, thank you for joining us today. It's great to connect with you again.
Great to connect with you again.
Well, what is the latest, Jeffrey? What's on your radar?
Well, I've got about 10 items. One thing that's kind of a blast from the past for me is that there was a report in Russia where scientists confirmed that laboratory animals eating genetically engineered soybean meal had basically ran out of the ability to have babies. They said that basically it was a ban on offspring. It's possible these were the same guys talking about their hamster research, which, as you'll recall, by the third generation, most lost the ability to have babies. They also reported that there was a higher proportion of female offspring for those that were able to give birth, and also there were slower growth rates. So wow. This was basically, they, according to the report, it was proving that genetically modified soy harmed reproduction. Now, proving is a strong word, and it might have been the reporter saying it and not the scientist, but it was interesting. When I last corresponded with these scientists in Moscow, they said that they hadn't published the research because they weren't sure if the culprit was the genetic engineering or the Roundup, which is used on the genetically engineered crops. And as you know, Roundup can cause birth defects and endocrine disruption and can easily be responsible for reproductive failures. But the genetic engineering process not only has the inserted gene, but massive side effects that can occur as well. So that's still, we're waiting for publication on that one.
You know, it's fascinating that you mentioned this loss of reproductive ability after multiple generations. Now, I know you don't get into conspiracies and all that, but one of the topics of conversation circulating these days is, you know, Bill Gates says he wants to reduce the world population. Ted Turner says we got to reduce it down to 1 billion people. That means eliminating 5.8 billion, by the way. So there's a lot of speculation that GMOs may be part of an effort to have infertility kick in so that long term people can't have babies and therefore the population collapses down to a much smaller level. Do you want to offer any comment or speculation on that topic?
Well, I haven't seen any documentation that has anyone believing in advance that this stuff causes reproductive failure. But I can tell you that we know from laboratory animal studies as well as livestock that reproductive failure is rampant in relationship to GMOs. In laboratory animals, female rats fed GM soy, I think you've heard all this, more than half of their babies died within 3 weeks. The babies were also smaller and could not reproduce. GM soy resulted in testicles changing color from pink to blue, damage to young sperm cells, damage to the uterus and ovaries, changes in the way the DNA functioned in the embryo offspring. Genetically modified corn that was Roundup ready and BT resulted in fewer babies and smaller babies. So there, and now we're seeing livestock reports like crazy. There was a Danish farmer, and I believe you reported on this, that when he took his 450 sows and their offspring and put them on non-GM soybeans, the conception rate was higher, the birth defects were completely eliminated, the litter size increased, the stillborn rate was down. In addition, he also had fewer infections, so his antibiotic use dropped by half, his diarrhea problems went away within 2 days, and so did the death rates, as well as the digestive problems, which had claimed about 38 pigs over the previous 2 years.
Wow. Huge effects being observed out there in the animal world. You know, related to that, just to clarify, too, there was that big talk about the, at first it was called a GMO Tifton 85 grass in Texas. You know, I went out to the ranch and found that's not GMO. It had nothing to do with GMOs, but that was a big, a lot of people misreported that, including, I think, ABC or no, what was it, CBS News,
yes,
originally misreported that as GMO.
Yeah, in fact, that's often the situation. Sometimes the confusion happens when people hear about crops under development, like bent grass is not yet commercialized, but it has been deregulated, or things like apples and onions and eggplant, which have not yet been deregulated, but are under development. People hear about it and wonder which product is genetically engineered. Fortunately, there's only 9 genetically modified food-related crops right now, and grass right now is not one of them.
You know, I think part of that is because the public is now so afraid of being lied to by the media and the government and the USDA and Monsanto, of course, that, the public is suspicious of everything they're told. And this is part of the reason, I think, why labeling is so important, so that people can actually make informed decisions. Your thoughts on that, Jeffrey?
Well, labeling is key because most Americans say they would avoid GMOs if they were labeled, 53% in a recent poll. Now, that means if labeling was required, say, in California, where there's a ballot initiative that'll be voted on in November, if it passes, we believe that most companies would remove GMOs rather than admit they use them. So Monsanto, for sure, is taking out the big guns. We expect tens of millions of dollars, maybe $100 million in disinformation campaigning. And they're already starting saying that labeling is going to cost people more money, that it's confusing, that it'll result in lawsuits. All of these are lies. And we're going to be rolling out a tour in California. I'm releasing a film next month, in part due to your support. Thank you again. And so we're going to be focusing our efforts on California education so that it'll antidote the lies of the biotech industry. But there's two other labeling issues that came up this past week. One is that the American Medical Association did not support a proposal by the Indiana chapter, which passed a resolution in favor of labeling of GMOs. The national conference did not. However, in a kind of a schizophrenic move, they did say that they were in favor of requiring pre-market safety testing. Right now, you can put a GMO on the market without any required safety studies. You don't even have to tell the FDA. Well, according to the AMA, they think that should be changed, and studies like allergenicity or antibiotic resistance should be carefully done before products are approved. So they're admitting on the one hand that it might cause allergies, but they don't want people to know if it's genetically engineered, so they wouldn't be able to know how to protect themselves.
That is kind of schizophrenic, but it does show that the issue is getting attention even in the established medical community. It's also bubbling into pop culture. There was a video put out, well, on Bill Maher's show, I think June 22nd issue, episode, Bill Maher and Rachel Maddow were on there actually supporting the labeling of GMOs and calling the corporations liars. I was astonished. I almost couldn't believe what I was watching. Did you see that episode?
I did not, and thank you for telling me about that. I usually don't miss something like that because I have so many listservs in my inbox. I usually see things 11 times. Now, there was another labeling issue that I'm sure you're aware of, and that is that Bernie Sanders and Barbara Boxer had a proposal for the Farm Bill amendment, which would specifically allow states to require labeling. Now, there's no law that disallows them to label, although Monsanto had threatened to sue the state of Vermont and the state of Connecticut if they passed labeling bills. And so this was the first time the Senate ever had voted on a labeling bill. It was defeated by over 70 votes to 20-something. But nonetheless, Bernie Sanders from Vermont said this is a good first step and that it's being paid attention to for the first time. So it was kind of a mixed thing, like the American Medical Association. They described it and evaluated it for the first time, but they didn't yet have a rational, realistic vote.
You know, it's fascinating. Getting back to the labeling rationale, the argument against GMO labeling is really the same argument as saying, well, food companies shouldn't even be required to list ingredients or nutrition facts or anything. Why not just let the food companies put whatever they want on their labels and let the consumers remain completely ignorant of everything that's in the product? I mean, that is essentially the argument of the anti-labeling crowd.
Well, in California, it's getting more sophisticated. They're doing a lot of polling and focus. And what they're trying to say is, if you vote for this measure, it's going to cost you hundreds of dollars per year in your grocery bills. And they're saying this is not a right to know, it's a right to sue, because of Prop 65 has resulted in a lot of lawsuits. Their logic is completely false because this is completely different, but they're doing it to confuse. And so they have all sorts of disinformation pieces, and they don't mention genetic engineering. One of the front groups is the Coalition Against the Costly Food Labeling Bill. It doesn't mention genetic engineering, and this is part of their tactic.
Yeah, I noticed that a lot of the language is starting to shift from genetic engineering to biotechnology or even high-tech agriculture. That's a term they're using now.
Well, they've been trying to cook the books on the languaging for a long time. Genetic engineering, genetically modified. They even tried to make genetically modified refer to everything like beer and hybridization, even though it's been used as genetic engineering for years in the United States and especially in Europe.
Incredible.
There's some other news coming out around in Europe, for example. Syngenta is being charged with hiding information about how a trial with their now defunct BT corn, which used to be on the market, it was fed to cows in a trial, and four cows died within a couple of days, or two cows died within 4 days, I think that was it, and they stopped the trial. But then they recruited a farmer in Germany to do trials with his cows, and they never told him about their trial. So that was a violation of the law. And as what happened, this farmer was feeding their Syngenta BT176 corn to his cows. Five of them died 1 year. Syngenta gave him 40,000 euros. Seven died the next year. Others got sick and had to be put down. Syngenta stopped paying out any reparations. The guy went to court and lost, and he is now suing Syngenta because it turns out they withheld information that they needed to tell in order to recruit him properly. And they're even suing the head of Syngenta in Germany for withholding information not only from the farmer, but also from the courts.
But that's how the entire GMO industry operates, by withholding information. That's what they want to do from all of us, so we are not aware of what we're eating.
And that's why you and I need to get the word out quickly and it's actually working. I think this whole focus on labeling has its as its basis a greater awareness about the health risks, because why else would people demand labeling unless it was a demand for avoiding? So thank you again for covering all these health risks. I read your reports, and they're excellent.
Hey, thank you, Jeffrey, for all that you do. You know, we're just trying to keep up with you, frankly, man. You are all over the world. You're traveling, you're interviewing, you're researching. I don't know how you handle it all. How do you do it?
I actually have no idea. I traveled 187 days last year, and I'm about to leave for the California campaigning. I'll be gone for maybe 3.5 months. But it's I have to tell you, one of the reasons why I can do this is because we're making such positive impacts. I was in Taiwan recently, and I can now share finally what happened. I usually hide the fact that I'm going to another country, and that's very important because otherwise Monsanto and company sends out their troops to try and discredit in advance. And
yeah,
we were very successful in other countries if we just kept it quiet until we showed up. Well, in Taiwan, I ended up meeting with the former prime minister. My book had come out a month before my visit. It became an immediate national bestseller in its third printing. Evidently, the former prime minister read most of it, and in our press conference was quoting the details of the study by Arpad Pusztai and the potatoes to the press, and then called for a GMO-free zone. Then a head of a county, I met with him in the press. He also said he would try and get a GMO-free zone. And then we met with Congress people, and they were so impressed with the information in the book and also that we were presenting, they set up a press conference and a public hearing at the Congress, where they summoned the head of their, or a representative of their FDA and agriculture and science departments. And at the end of this very long presentation by all of us, they said, it is obvious that the laws in Taiwan are incompetent to properly regulate all of the ramifications of GMOs and their side effects, and they need to be revamped.
Wow.
So when I have a week like that, you know, go to a country for a week and have the laws change because of the revelations that we're bringing to them, you know, it's not like I run out of energy. It just gives me more energy.
Incredible. Did they say ni han li hai? That means you kick ass in Chinese.
Ni hao ma. That's about all I know.
Hey, well, your message is getting out there no matter what language it's in. You know, I can imagine that countries like Taiwan must be very concerned, because here is a Western American type of technology that's now, it's an imperial invasion of their agricultural system with unknown future risks that could compromise their land. And their seed, their genetic capital of their country.
You know, that's true. But I'll tell you, I was in Vietnam last year, and they were more concerned in Vietnam. Monsanto has a much bigger presence in Vietnam. It's a big agricultural exporter. And they were working with their captured members of the government, particularly the ag industry, the ag ministry. And when I went there last year, they also didn't mention in advance that I would be there. I went to a government-sponsored conference on GMOs, and the first couple of speakers were very pro-GM. I think they were from the Ag Ministry, and they didn't know who I was, and I was introduced as the keynote speaker. And I started to expose the lies of Monsanto, and I was told by people that these two former other speakers were looking around nervously, grabbed their cell phones, and left. And before we knew it, the trip the next day, which was planned to visit Monsanto's field trials, were canceled. And then a few days later, Monsanto's folks sent around an email to the officials trying to discredit me. But it was too late, because I had gotten the truth out, and their efforts were just another example to the officials of how Monsanto was trying to hide the evidence of the problems associated with their technology.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. There are all these efforts by these corporate giants to try to discredit people like you and me, and most of them are just laughable. I've been accused of being, an alien reptilian Illuminati priest from Planet X or something.
I mean, well, that's very colorful.
Yeah, it's very imaginative, yes.
I was in Zambia a few years ago, and they were really raked over the coals when they had a famine and refused to import the U.S. genetically engineered corn for famine relief. Now, we know that no one died. Okay, no one died in Zambia. They were able to obtain food from other sources. However, this huge disinformation campaign echoed all over the United States and Europe to describe thousands dead, 20,000 dead, starving people. Activists like you and me were trying to say that the corn was going to cause cancer, there was poison that was going to cause AIDS. I mean, this, and then I was in Zambia and I talked to these Jesuit priests who are agricultural researchers, and they were talking about at their conferences the results of research on GMOs, which of course was not positive. And so Colin Powell tried to get the head of the Jesuit order in the Vatican to silence the Jesuit priests.
Wow.
And then someone from the U.S. government told the head of the Jesuit order in the U.S. that this one father had left a meeting screaming, saying, let them starve rather than eating GMOs. I talked to this priest, and he said this was completely false, although he was called by the head of the Jesuit order, who was worried about it. The U.S. sent congressmen, senators, and professors. I talked to a former minister of agriculture who said when he was in the U.S., and he met Secretary Veneman, the USDA secretary at the time. He was introduced as the ambassador, as the minister from Zambia. She wouldn't shake his hand. Instead, she said, backward country, and stormed off.
Wow.
So this was an example of a country that was just trying to protect itself from the health, environmental, and economic dangers of GMOs. So I ended up writing this 2-full-page spread article, which they put in their newspaper, huge, huge. It was supposedly the largest article ever published in this newspaper. It was vindication for their position years earlier. And I was on national TV and national radio, and I spoke to the House of Chiefs there. They were very grateful because they felt very alone and very victimized. And I talked to some of the ministers who really felt, you know, personally affronted by this whole effort to force them. And it was amazing what the U.S. has done.
You know, what a great example, too, because it shows, you know, people like you and I are bound by the honor and the intention of telling the truth. We do the research. We do not knowingly lie. Sometimes, I mean, on my website, we occasionally make a mistake and then we correct it. That happens. It's just part of journalism.
I caught you, actually.
Yeah, you did. You did. Thank you. I appreciate that. And just so you know, that's always unintentional if that ever happens. But
of course.
But
I make mistakes, too. I mean, like, there's so much information that it's impossible to get everything right all the time.
Right, right. But my point, Jeffrey, though, is that these corporations lie as easily as breathing. If their mouth is moving, they are lying. They will invent anything. They will say anything. They're not bound by the ethics or the morals or the honor of ever telling the truth. And that's what we are up against, you see. So you and I, we have to work 10 times harder to tell the truth, to document it, to back it up, where they can just lie and make up anything instantaneously, and they can get some traction with that sometimes.
Have you heard the name Nina Fedorov? She was the she wrote the book, actually, I forget the name of the book. But she wrote a pro-GM book. She was the science advisor to Hillary Clinton and Condoleezza Rice. She left that position. Now she's the chairman, I think, of some big science group. And I talked to two very conservative scientists about her position on GMOs, and both of them got completely agitated and said, she's a liar. I've never seen these scientists say that. I'm not going to say who they are. But it was to them, it was absolutely blatant that she knew the truth and was willing to lie. Now, I don't know her that well, and I can't say that, but it's very interesting that even conservative scientists that are very scared to say anything is black or white, they just got all flustered when I mentioned her name. And I have seen clearly, you know, we've caught these guys red-handed. In my book, Genetic Roulette, part three is all about how they rig their research, and we've caught them red-handed lying, and yet it still gets counted as effective and appropriate for the FDA purposes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, we are winning. You are winning big time. The GMO labeling campaign, it's on the ballot. That's a huge victory. Tell us now, Jeffrey Smith, what can Natural News readers and viewers do today to continue the victory, to have the big victory, require labeling in California, and end the curse of GMOs in our nation? What can people do?
We're actually about to send out an email to our subscribers at responsibletechnology.org, where we're going to be raising financial support for Victory in California through some of the messaging that you and I know can change not only a vote, but also behavior, so we can have a victory not only at the ballot box, but at the cash register. We're also going to be laying out different things that people can do. We want to have a social media army, a click and send non-GMO revolutionary army, so people can every day repost, retweet, or pass on information that we will supply and that we'll gather from others to supply. We're looking for help in a variety of ways, specific talented things like writers and editors, etc., filmmakers, graphic artists, fundraisers, and people to host our tour of more than a dozen people around California. Rather than go into the details now, I'd like to suggest that people subscribe to our free newsletter at responsibletechnology.org. It goes out one to four times per month, let's say. And there'll be some specific instructions there now and also when the film comes out. I want to thank your readership, because you guys did a great thing by raising money. We're actually out of the money now. We need to raise more money to finish the film and then to promote it. But we have now a film that is really amazing. It is definitely the most powerful film ever created, driving people away from eating GMOs. I can say that without a doubt. We know that our lectures change people's diet on the spot. This is far more powerful. Many, many doctors, veterinarians, farmers, scientists, individuals who have switched, parents who've changed their kids, autistic kids, with clear, unmistakable results. So this is coming out in July, and I'm going to ask the listeners and readers of Natural News to participate in making this thing seen by people throughout California, and there'll be a way that people can do that and pass on links for people to watch it. It'll be a whole plan that we're putting together, and in fact, I'm going to bring you into helping with that plan so we can make sure we can get it to the most number of people.
Absolutely. We're completely on board with that. All you got to do, you know, you and I hardly talk because we're so busy. So you've got my cell phone number. Just text my phone. You don't even have to call. Just text me and then forward the stuff to my email, and then we'll get it organized and we'll get it out to our list, because our readers are just big on supporting you and your group and mandatory labeling and telling the truth about GMOs. That's absolutely huge. So we're completely on board with that. We'd love to show the film or trailers from it or sneak peeks, behind the scenes, stuff that didn't make it into the final cut. Everybody's fascinated by this. So please, yeah, let us do whatever we can. In the meantime, go ahead.
So the idea that we have for California is the messaging has to antidote the lies. Now, there's going to be, let's say, $60 to $100 million spent in the lies. We can't go up against that with advertising money because it's going to be a pittance compared to what they'll spend. But we can generate media. So we're looking for some pro bono media PR help. We can generate media through events. So we're having a big tour planned in California. I'll be out for most of from mid-July till the election. We're bringing in a lot of people to speak. We have campaigns that'll help the messaging go viral, a campaign to protect children against GMOs who are most at risk, a campaign to bring together healthcare professionals so that they can make a statement in favor not only of labeling, but of prescribing non-GMO diets. And there's thousands of healthcare professionals doing just that right now.
Excellent.
So we have a lot of plans that we're going to be revealing to the world, I guess, right now and soon and by email form. And we'll be recruiting people to participate because it's a very interesting science here. We know that the airwaves are going to be completely pro-GM and anti the measure with their ads. So we have to figure out how to use the internet to go viral, how to use the media to go viral, how to use events, how to use word of mouth, and how to get it so that it is so sticky and so compelling that people want to talk about it. So the messaging piece is extremely important,
yeah.
And this is where I've been focusing my attention for about 5 months in preparation.
Jeffrey, you are an amazing frontline general in this war for truth about food. I just want to say that. You're amazing. Your logistics skills and abilities are amazing. People rally behind you. You manage to make friends, not enemies, even throughout the industry. It's amazing. I just want to say, be careful, man. Watch your back. These corporations, I can tell you from experience, they will do anything to silence your message. So I want you to be very, very cautious. We don't have to say any more on camera, but just watch yourself, man, because these people are dangerous. They want to win at any cost, and they don't care who they have to harm in that process.
Thank you for your warning, but I say this. You know, while I was in Taiwan, a student, I think, said, "Thank you for your bravery." And I had to say, I don't feel particularly brave.
You are listening to the Health Ranger Report on Natural News Radio. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com. Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Survival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
I know your experience in this is, but to me, bravery is when you have fear and you step through it anyway. To be honest, I have no fear. I mean, to me, this is my assignment. It is an opportunity. It is an honor. I mean, consider this, Mike. When you think of our ability to affect change in the world, GMOs represent one of the greatest threats not only to everyone who eats, that's the entire population, but also all living beings and all future generations, because yes, it's a permanent contamination of the gene pool. So if we in this one generation can stop this threat, think of what good we're doing for the world. So to me, this is an amazing opportunity, and people who jump on board and participate feel great about it because of all the things that we can do in the world at this time. This is fairly unique in its ability to protect, again, all living beings, all future generations.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people talk about saving the world and saving the future, saving the planet. Well, this is something that's very practical that is actually that, literally saving the genetic integrity of the future of life on our planet. And you're right, Jeffrey. How often do we have an opportunity to take action and contribute to that really sacred achievement, that sacred protection of life that will sustain us for endless generations? I mean, this is a sacred mission, you could even say.
Well, I think so. I was just talking to someone who was the chairman of Sacred Seeds. And, you know, when you think about it that way, I'm going to be speaking at the Smithsonian at the Native American Museum in July, giving a keynote about sacredness of seeds and genetic engineering. And when they look at it from that perspective, and I've spoken to indigenous people in many, many countries around the world, they have a deeper perspective. And I think I can achieve. They're, because of their culture, they have a different relationship with nature. And for them, GMO means God move over. It means a violation of natural law and a violation of a natural law that they are intimate with. So I am in awe and honored to be serving their purpose as well.
Well said, Jeffrey. I know you're about out of time. Any final thoughts as we wrap this up?
Well, I'd like to share some good news out of Brazil. It's been a while since I've been able to share good news out of Brazil. I've been there 5 times. The Monsanto's been really taking the farmers for a ride, not only collecting royalties on the seeds, but collecting royalties when people sell the crops at the end of the season. And so a court declared that illegal. And if the Supreme Court upholds it, then they may be on the hook for $7.5 billion.
Wow. So refunds? Refund the farmers?
Yeah, refund the farmers since, I think, 2004 for charging them twice.
Wow. Wow, that's huge. But it also shows, I mean, I wasn't even aware of that issue, but it shows the dominance of the entire food chain that is the goal of Monsanto. They want to charge you money on the front end and the back end and own all the intellectual property and own everything, own the entire food supply and enslave the world to their food intellectual property. It is one of the most insidious, evil agendas that we've ever witnessed on our planet. It's incredible.
I talked to a person who heard the Arthur Anderson consultant describe the master plan of Monsanto that this company helped create. And it was to genetically engineer 100% of all commercial seeds in the world and to patent them and to sell them along with the associated chemicals. So this company was willing to bet the entire food supply, the entire agriculture on an infant technology for the sake of their profits and their dominance. So I don't know. He said it was the most arrogant statement he had ever heard in his life up to that point and since. I can't imagine a more arrogant statement. But I want to say this, just because I don't want to end on an arrogant note. The way to win here, and we've discussed this many times, it is so leveraged for our victory. Just a passing of a labeling bill or having a non-GMO revolution where 5% of the shoppers avoid GM ingredients, turning the GMOs into a marketing liability since there's no benefits to consumers. We have to just tell the people who are already predisposed to being against GMOs a little more information, why that's a good idea, how to do it, what to do. Just arm the choir, tell people what they already want to know, and we will get rid of GMOs for everyone.
Well said, Jeffrey, and I sense it too. Victory is within our reach on this. I feel a huge grassroots wave of support and recognition and even urgency about defeating this evil corporation and their agenda to dominate life on our planet. It is unbelievable that they have attempted that, but good news that we are winning. Good news that you are on the front lines fighting this fight for the future of life on our planet. Literally, I don't say that as a metaphor. This is the literal truth. So thank you, Jeffrey, for continuing your work. It's an honor to know you and an honor to support your work. So thank you for your time today.
You're most welcome, and thank you, Mike.
All right. Take care, Jeffrey. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
There's a movie by M. Night Shyamalan called The Happening, and in that movie, nature fights back against humanity by releasing toxic poison gas that kills people. It's depicted as a way of nature rebalancing life on the planet after humanity has destroyed, invaded, and attempted to dominate nature through so many methods, chemicals, GMOs, you name it. Well, now it looks like this may be actually coming true. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, reporting for naturalnews.com on site in Elgin, Texas, the site of the cyanide Tifton 85 hybridized grass that has now killed cattle on a ranch right here in Elgin. It's this grass that appears to have somehow attained the property of producing cyanide gas. And that gas has confirmed killed many cattle of the rancher who owns this 80 acres here. Some of the theories that may explain this behavior of the cyanide gas grass, the Tifton 85 F1 hybrid grass, include the possibility of it being genetically contaminated with other genetically engineered crops that may be grown in this area. For example, the USDA has approved the open
production of GM alfalfa, genetically engineered alfalfa, which could cause genetic pollution. And that pollution could, theoretically, it is a plausible theory, somehow interact and allow these other grasses to mutate into the strains that we're seeing here that produce cyanide gas. To investigate this issue, we are here on site in Elgin, Texas, with the InfoWars team. We'll be speaking with Darren McBreen shortly. I was also given information from the InfoWars investigative team, and I want to thank them for that information, from the University of Florida, showing that there was a special grant allowed to the university to experiment with a transgenic Bermuda grass strain. Let me read you from that document. It is permission to generate, quote, transgenic Bermuda grass and seashore paspalum with stable expression of a, quote, synthetic Bacillus thuringiensis, the BT. That's the same as BT corn, and pardon me if my pronunciation is not exactly right on all this. It is an endotoxin gene. And this right here, this is the university, see if I can show you some of this. This is just the university special grant. Project status is now terminated. The project end date was September 14, 2007, and the title of it is Molecular Improvement for Insect Resistance in Turf and Forage Grasses. So what does this mean? Well, we're not claiming that this experimental genetically engineered grass was planted on this farm here in Elgin, Texas, but we are seeing evidence that there may be experiments in GE grasses for forage and turf, as is explained here, and that those experiments may be going on across the country with unforeseen results. That's the big question here, everybody. If we roll the dice with these experiments in nature and we unleash genetic pollution across the planet through our crops and right out in the open, the wind is blowing out here, insects are spreading seeds everywhere. This is not contained. This is not done in a lab somewhere with a level of containment or safety or anything. This is done right out in the open. What will be the impact of this long term? Could it be a seasonal effect? Could cyanide come out every spring, every early summer in some areas because of this mutation? Or is this just a one-time freak of nature that's going to go away and never bother us again? These are the questions that remain as we continue to investigate here in Elgin, Texas. All right, so, and by the way, I'm not wearing this hat as a costume. It's freaking hot out here. This is Welcome to Texas time. Hays County Agriculture and Natural Resources published an interesting article on this subject. And I've got a copy of it right here, thanks to InfoWars. They deserve a lot of credit for doing some of the research on this. Now, this is called, the title is called The Potential Toxicity Issues with Tifton 85 Bermuda Grass. Interesting title, huh? And it's from Dr. Larry Redman, the Extension Forage Specialist. Not sure where he's from. Oh, Texas A&M. Yeah, Texas A&M. I wanted to read you some of this, but as you listen to this, keep in mind, this article was pulled off the website this morning. It's gone. We're not sure why. It's a page not found. Well, no, it's actually not a page not found. It still has the masthead and the skeleton of the page, but the article's not there anymore, so it's as if the content was deliberately removed. Not saying there's a conspiracy behind that, but why would that happen? I don't know. But let's take a look at this. He reports, Dr. Larry Redman, that 15 head of roping calves died as a result of prussic acid poisoning. That becomes cyanide gas in Bastrop cattle in a clean field of Tifton 85 Bermuda grass. While this has never been reported before, results of analyses of rumen contents, that's what the cattle were eating, and the fresh forage confirmed that death was due to prussic acid poisoning, cyanide gas. Forage specialists and researchers here and the vet diagnostic lab at first denied the possibility of this, he says. Even the researchers and breeders at USDA ARS, that's the agricultural research branch of the USDA, Tifton, Georgia, doubted the findings, but after multiple site visits, multiple forage analyses, and DNA analysis of plants from several fields from several environments across Texas, we can come to only one conclusion, he says. The death of the cattle was indeed due to prussic acid poisoning, cyanide gas. All right, here to help investigate this issue of the cyanide grass in Elgin, Texas, is Darren McBreen, investigative reporter for Infowars.com. How you doing, Darren?
Not bad, not bad. It's a little warm out here, but it's a mystery. You know, we got to figure this out. Not only we're not the only ones out here, but this is also a federal investigation. So, and the USDA has been out here. Can we trust what the USDA tells us? I'm not sure. But regardless, you know, it's not every day that a mass herd of cattle just die off by simply eating grass. And it's not every day that grass turns into cyanide.
Coming out here and being here in person, unfortunately, hasn't given either one of us really any additional answers.
Mm-mm. No. In fact, there's more questions. We did learn that the grass is sterile. But, you know, what does that mean? This grass has been here, according to the ranchers, for 15 years. And nothing has changed. But our question is, could another rancher nearby have bought some genetically modified grass? You know, the BT strain, for example, that was tested in Florida. You know, we're still investigating that. So who knows what could have happened? There could have been some kind of cross-pollinization. And we're not saying that this is genetically modified. I mean, because we don't know at this point. But it's almost like, you know, Mother Nature, something's going on. You know, something out of the ordinary. And I think it's an alarming event, you know.
Yeah.
Because not only that, we do know that there's been other tests and ranches nearby who have indeed found strains of cyanide in their grass as well, in their Bermuda grass as well. Hasn't killed any of their cattle yet, but it's there. So who knows where this is going to go from here.
Now, just the fact that you and I are out here from InfoWars and Natural News and we haven't, you know, uncovered a smoking gun or found any answers.
See, but we're not done here, you know. And obviously we don't want to alarm people. And we're not going to say it's a GMO if it's not, you know. So we have found no evidence whatsoever that it's been genetically modified. But this is day one of the investigation, and who knows where it's going to go from here.
Yeah, I think it's important to reiterate that we're out here just to gather facts and report the facts. And the facts are pretty scarce on this right now, but it does remain a huge mystery. Are you going to continue to investigate this at InfoWars?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we have a couple more days. And anything that's going to happen in the future, obviously, you know, we're going to be keeping tabs on this situation.
Yeah. Right on. Good to talk to you. Darren McBreen here from InfoWars.com and InfoWars Nightly News. Thanks for being here today,
right,
Darren.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, this is the grass in question, the Tifton 85 hybrid grass right here. This is on the field where the cows died here in Elgin. We were given permission by the farmer, Mr. Abel, to come onto his field and just take a look around, and he helped answer some questions. Also urged us to help clarify some information and set the record straight on a few things, which we're going to do. But let me talk about this grass here. So this is supposed to be a sterile grass. It is an F1 hybrid. It is not a genetically engineered strain of grass. And we could probably eat this right now and we'd be fine. But the cows that ate this did die all within about a 2-hour window, reportedly, after consuming this grass, which off-gassed cyanide gas. Now, there's a lot of grasshoppers out here. They're apparently not dead from it, or maybe if one wave of grasshoppers died, another wave has come on, and they're fine. We're obviously not dying out here from the grass. So it appears to be maybe something that just came and went. Maybe it was impacted by temperature, moisture, environmental conditions, possibly an interaction between the climate and the soil. There's a lot of speculation. We'll get to more of that. Maybe genetic pollution, genetic contamination from another field. Those are other possibilities. But some things that Mr. Abel told us was that this grass is very, very common in this region and across Elgin and Bastrop and everything east of Austin, Texas. You're going to find, even in Brenham, this grass is very common. Why? Because it's drought resistant, for one thing. We had a really bad drought in this region last year, a lot of fires. And even though there hasn't been that much rain this year, this grass is still doing pretty well. So it's great for cattle ranchers who want to obviously fatten their cattle with grass that's going to survive the droughts that come and go. Another thing that Mr. Abel told us is that he had this put in the field roughly 15 years ago, maybe 15 to 18 years ago, as he recalled. And since then, nothing, you know, he hasn't put any seed on the field, he told us. The only thing he's done is he has put chemical fertilizer on the field every year, which is very traditional in this area. That's not an organic practice, obviously. It's a It is a chemical fertilizer, you know, nitrogen, basically, fertilizer that's put on the fields out here. And again, that's a very common practice. The other thing Mr. Abel told us was that there are some of his fields tested for zero cyanide gas, while other fields tested with the deadly concentrations. So it doesn't appear to be something that exists everywhere. It's only in certain areas. He also said that other people around this area have reported that their fields tested positive for the cyanide gas from the grass itself. He also mentioned a veterinarian here who said that the grass could be cut and baled and let cure in the sun, and there's some other hay out here that is curing right now, and that grass will be perfectly safe to consume by the cattle because the cyanide gas would have already off-gassed by that time. Now, there's a lot of speculation out there on the internet about what could have caused this. Is it, I mean, some of the comments I've seen are, oh, is Monsanto running some evil experiment out here? Is there some runaway escaped seed from somewhere? Is there a secret government experiment? Are these farmers engaged in some kind of secret experiment? You know, just being here in person and meeting the farmers and being on their ranch, I don't see any evidence of any of that going on. I can't rule it out. A lot of this is still speculation, but I don't see that happening. What could happen is cross-contamination of genetic pollution from another field that comes onto this field and then causes this grass to do something that normally it wouldn't do in nature. So one of the interesting questions in all this that we should be asking is, are there other cases in history where different types of grasses, Bermuda, coastal, Tifton, or whatever, where it spontaneously began to off-gas toxic deadly chemicals? I don't know the answer to that. This story is still pretty new, but there may be other cases of that. If there are not any other cases of that, and if this is indeed the first known case, then that's very worrisome, because it means something has changed. Something new has entered the equation that has caused this to be initiated. It also means that this could potentially spread. Now, this strain, Tifton 85, is supposed to be sterile. But one of the things that I've learned, being an investigative journalist interested in the natural world and science as well, is that nature typically finds a way to overcome sterility. If you have a large enough population of almost any kind of bacteria or mammals even, or insects or plants, they usually find a way to reproduce through some overcoming through mutations that were unexpected. So you can imagine out here on this field, there must be countless millions of blades of grass, and one of them, somewhere along the line, has probably found a way to reproduce and not become and not stay sterile. That's speculation, of course, but that is consistent with the patterns that we see in nature. Nature tends to overcome sterility if given a chance. But the bottom line with this story, as far as I'm concerned, is that this is a freak of nature incident. Is it nature fighting back against people? I'm not sure. I don't believe in the Gaia theory that nature has a singular consciousness that's trying to now destroy humanity. I think it's more cause and effect. I think if we imbalance nature, then that imbalance eventually results in effects that can be harmful to humans or harmful to our food production or perhaps even harmful to the environment itself. For example, if we dump mercury into the rivers, then that's going to create a toxic river and a toxic ocean downstream that's going to, you know, come back and reduce ocean life and then affect the food supply of ocean fisheries and so on. There's no question that there's a very complex web of interaction between the actions that we take as humans and then what comes back to haunt us potentially in the food chain or just out in nature like we are out here. But we don't have solid answers at this point. This is an ongoing investigation. We'll keep looking into it, and we'll let you know if we find anything else that may help solve the mystery of the cyanide grass in Elgin, Texas. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, reporting on site for naturalnews.com. Hello and welcome to the Health Ranger Report and our special food investigations segment. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, from naturalnews.com, bringing you this information today. Now, in the past, we've investigated the fake blueberries
that were supposed to be in your breakfast cereal, but they're not. They're actually made out of high fructose corn syrup and artificial food colors and partially hydrogenated oils. But they name the cereals like blueberry cereal, even though it's not blueberry. Today, we've got some other foods to show you. Well, at least one. We're going to focus on one here, a supplement that has some chemicals in it that should blow your mind. And this is a warning to those of you who go out and you buy these cheap fish oil products. Fish oils, yes. And as the, this is part of the Hall of Shame that we've been collecting. This is the Kirkland brand fish oil product. This is sold at Costco stores nationwide, or at least it was. I think I picked this up, I don't know how long ago, but I bought it at Costco. It says omega-3 fish oil. And it says right on the front here, check it out, supports healthy heart, joints, brain, and skin. That sounds good, doesn't it? And everybody's heard great things about fish oils, right? I mean, it's really good for you, right? Well, hold on a second. Yeah, fish oil is great for you, but what about the rest of what's in this supplement? Check this out. You're going to be shocked at this. It has a fish oil concentrate. So the actual fish oil is a small part of the pill. In addition to the fish oil concentrate, then it then has gelatin and a methylcrylic copolymer C. What is that? Is it sort of like a plasticized oil? Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. Then it's got glycerin, food glaze, ethyl cellulose, enteric coating, which has a bunch of other ingredients in it, sorbitol, magnesium silicate, that's sort of a flow agent for processing all this, medium chain triglycerides, MCTs, which are just an oil to probably to fill the capsule or to make the capsule lining, mixed natural tocopherols, nothing wrong with that. It's like different vitamin E's, forms of vitamin E. What is this? Glycerol monostearate, triethylene citrate, triacetin, and then we get to the fun stuff, mineral oil. Oh, yeah, petroleum-derived oil. If you want to eat mineral oil and eat a petroleum product, right here in the fish oil capsule, vanillin, polysorbate 80. What a wonderful chemical to have in your supplement. And then soy lecithin. Is that GMO soy lecithin? Well, most soy is. It doesn't say if this is GMO or non-GMO. But check this out. Methylparabens and polyparabens. It's just what we want in our fish oil, right? Methylparabens. Now, a lot of other products on the market are advertising themselves as paraben-free, including shampoos. No parabens. Why is that? People are concerned about parabens. Look them up. Do the search yourself. P-A-R-A-B-E-N-S. In fact, if you look at the actual fish oil content of this supplement, the fish oil is not what this is entirely about. This is about a bunch of other chemicals, a bunch of other, you know, emulsifiers, capsules, flow agents, all kinds of things in here that are not fish oil. So when I talk about the benefits of fish oil, what I mean is to get fish oil, not something that claims to be fish oil, but is actually a collection of a bunch of other stuff that you wouldn't want to eat. And you got to watch out for this. If you go out and you buy cheap vitamins, you're getting mostly synthetic chemicals. They say, oh, they've got vitamin B and vitamin C and vitamin D and all vitamin E, all these vitamins in them, they're mostly synthetic. Yeah, if you buy cheap vitamins, and guess who owns the vitamin companies? The pharmaceutical companies. They love you to take those vitamins because they're just chemicals. They're actually going to make you sick, not make you well. So if you're consuming a bunch of chemicals, you're going to feed right or play right into Big Pharma's agenda of getting disease and then needing medication. The chemicals in many vitamins actually harm your liver and harm your kidneys. And you know how the mainstream media likes to say they run these studies every once in a while, or these articles. They say, oh, test proves vitamin E reduces longevity, you know, increases mortality, or test prove vitamin B doesn't help against condition X. You know how they come up with those stories and those studies? They always use synthetic vitamins. They never use food-based vitamins. They never use real nutrition. They always fake the studies using synthetic chemicals that are not real vitamins. That's how they do that. And then if you look at the minerals that are in a lot of supplements like multivitamins, where do those minerals come from? They say, oh, it has calcium in it. You know where they get the calcium? They grind up oyster shells. I don't know about you, but I don't see anybody walking along the beach eating oyster shells, because that would be insane. Who would want to eat rocks to get magnesium? Anyway, spread the word. Watch out for cheap synthetic chemicals in your vitamins and nutritional supplements. And thanks for watching. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, with the Health Ranger Report on naturalnews.com. Take care.